Welcome to Gardening Naturally with Jeff Ferris. Call or text Jeff now with your gardening and landscape questions, 512-836-0590.
Hey, good morning, gardeners. Welcome back, or welcome to Gardening Naturally. Looks like it's going to be a pretty nice day this morning to get out there and do gardening, and we got rain on the way. So rain later this evening. You may want to get out there and get stuff done if you got work to do, but rain coming for pretty much the rest of the week. That looks pretty promising. Hopefully we can start getting caught up again. We are ahead for the year. That's not going to last long. That is not going to last at all. We're going to start getting into those months where we don't get rain and it will be hot. So do what you can. Time for checking compost and mulch and, you know, how are your plants doing? How are you going to water them? But we'll take whatever rain we can get. Let's go to the phone. This is Roger. Roger, what can I help you with?
Good morning, Jeff. That was interesting. You're the third show I listened to this week, pointing today. You, Colleen, and a gentleman out of San Antonio named Bob. I don't know if you know about him. Yeah, I need to kill out some wild Mustang grapes. How do I go about doing that? They're on a fence line, and they're just invading everything. How do I go about removing them?
Okay. People are going to get mad at me, but you may have to take a chemical approach because of the strength of grapes. I mean, yeah, you can burn the leaves off, and guess what? Those roots are going to pop right back up next year. You're going to have them for an incredibly long period of time if you don't have something that will kill the plant. Now, there are a lot of products out there that'll do it. Lots of them. You want to make sure that you are following the instructions to the letter. You're going to be using something nasty to get rid of those grapes on that fence line, but you don't want to spread it in places where it's going to cause a problem. So, are there organic grape killers? Nope. Nope. You can burn, like I said, you can burn the leaves off, but they'll just send up a new shoot from the roots. That's exactly how grapes grow. You can try cutting all the vines so that you can get to the center cluster where most of it's coming out of the ground, and you can try pulling it out of the ground. Dig it out. A lot of work, but it can be successful. But I don't have an organic recommendation on how to get rid of the grape. So you can pick your poison, no pun intended.
Yeah, well, I don't like doing that, but I guess Roundup or some other herbicide.
Yeah, and you can be careful with it. You know, if you're going to use it, you have to know. Oh, if this much will kill it, I'll use twice as much. Don't be doing that.
Oh, no. No, I follow instructions. That's why I got all fingers and toes left.
Yeah? You must know my shop teacher. Anyway, yeah, no other method. I do not know of an organic way to get rid of the grape. Again, cut all the vines. Leave yourself enough of a stub and get a stump puller and see if you can't pull the grape out.
Especially I'll see what I can do with that one, and if I can't, well, I guess I got to go back to a chemical.
Right.
The gentleman I was on earlier on KTSA is talking about taking care of mesquite trees and to cut it down and to kill it out. He mentioned putting diesel fuel on it.
Yeah, that's a classic. If you cut it down, you can also use supposedly Epsom salt on it instead of diesel fuel. not a fan of dumping fuel on the soil, which is what you're going to work out to do. You're going to wind up with diesel fuel in the soil.
I don't want that either.
Right. But if you look up using Epsom salt to get rid of tree stump, meaning you've cut it down, you got a block there, there's several good explanations, and the Epsom salts are not fast, but they can be effective.
Okay. I'd rather go that route because I like the other plants, and I like all the little critters crawling around it, and I don't want to harm the ladybugs or butterflies or anything.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. Those guys are more important to me than getting rid of the plant.
Yeah, I've been working at cutting it back. At least that gives me something to do, but I'd rather not be doing it. So.
Right. Well,
all
remember.
Right, well, Jeff, thanks for your conversation. I'll talk to you sometime tomorrow. Have a good day.
All right. Thanks a lot for the call, Roger. Yeah, folks, there are lots of things you can use. Not every one of them is something you want. It's a basis of, is the tree more of a problem that you're going to get rid of all the wildlife around it? Decisions we have to make. Let's go to the phone. This is Scott. Scott, what can I help you with?
Morning. I just sent you two pictures. It's from a friend at work. And that's all the new leaves that are curling like that. They don't fertilize, which I told them they ought to, especially this is a lime tree, by the way. Or lemon tree, sorry. And it also doesn't get enough sunlight. They only get it from the morning till about 1 o'clock. I told them they needed full sun. Can you think of anything else that would be causing that? And it's typically on the new growth.
Drainage. When we water citrus, it's like give it water, then check it till it's dry, and then wait another day or two. They really want to go from wet to dry. They can handle quite dry, actually. Sun, an improvement there. And yes, citrus trees are notoriously greedy. They want lots and lots of fertilizer, usually just nitrogen. So something like cottonseed meal, alfalfa meal. You can use fish emulsion if you want to use a liquid, but they respond well to higher nitrogen fertilizers. They want good drainage, especially if they're in a pot. They didn't plant this lemon tree in the ground, did they?
No. One of the pictures actually shows the pot.
Well, I'm looking for them, and I can't. Hang on. Let's try that one. There we go. You want to watch that water. It looks like it's staying too wet and not draining well. And it would be happier with some fertilizer.
Yeah, I didn't have that problem with mine, so I didn't know what they were doing because I do all that other stuff. So.
But they said
they haven't really watered it because of the rain they've been getting. So, but it may be I don't know how many holes they have on the bottom, if they have any.
Right. It could be a drainage problem.
So.
And we're going to have more rain coming. So it's probably going to stay yellow for a while. But it should do okay.
Okay. Do you know what the best type of upright rosemary is real quick for around here?
No, can't think of a specific variety. I usually have success with any of them, so not sure if there's one better than the other.
Okay. I was just wondering if you had a favorite.
Nope.
All right. That's it for the day.
Thanks for the call, Scott. Stan, I see you there. I have to take a break. I will catch you on the other side.
This is Gardening Naturally on News Radio KLBJ with host Jeff Ferris. Jeff is ready for your calls or text messages at 512-836-0590.
Welcome back, everybody. Let's go to the phone. This is Stan. Stan, what can I help you with?
Hey, Jeff. I've got a magnolia tree that's about 30, 35 foot tall. It's got about an 8-inch diameter. The drought has not been kind. Last year it did pretty well, but now I'm having the problems with it. It put out blooms, but they didn't open, and it's looking pretty sickly, and I'm just wondering if there's anything I can do or just pray for rain.
Well, the rain part won't hurt, okay?
Hold on. I'm here.
You can take a couple of bags of compost, any kind, and spread it around the root zone of the plant, out from the trunk, out to the drip line. An inch thick would be fantastic. And what's going to happen is when we get the rain is going to leach through the compost and provide the tree with various nutrients that it needs. That will help improve where it's growing. And the better the place it's growing in, the better it will grow. Now, it may have taken a hit, so that doesn't mean you're going to recover it this year, in one single year, but it should start improving almost immediately.
Okay. Well, I found a good fertilizer for this type of for magnolias, and I fertilize it twice a year, and it's always been, you know, the leaves have been really dark green and waxy and good flower production even last year, but this year I can't put enough water on it, seems like. Well, the ground's so dry, and I feel like I'm trying to water all of Southwest Austin.
Well, that's one thing the compost will do. The compost will improve the soil that the plant's growing in. That means it's going to hold water better. That's going to loosen that soil so it's not hard and water runs off of it. So the compost will help, like I said, the place that the plant is growing in, it will improve it. The better the place it's growing, the better the plant will grow.
All right. Well, I'll give that a try and keep my fingers crossed. I hate to lose this tree. It's such a beautiful, huge magnolia. And I'll go from there.
We got rain this week. Hopefully, you can get a nice soap that really gets down in there for you to keep that tree happy.
I'm looking for that. You know, in Texas, we always end droughts with a flood. That's what I'm looking for.
Well... Be careful what you ask for.
All righty. Thank you, Jeff.
Thanks for the call. Let's go to the phone. This is Gary. Gary, what can I help you with?
Good morning, Jeff. I sent a picture. I heard somebody just earlier talking about a lemon tree, and I've got an issue with mine, which is in maybe a 3 to 5 gallon pot. It's full of limes, probably a little bit bigger than marble, maybe ping pong size. But the top branches, they look dead, and there's no leaves on it. Mm-hmm. So I've been kind of scraping to see if maybe there was some green underneath, and it doesn't look like there's much on most of the upper limbs.
Okay.
So I didn't know what I needed to do. I have been adding the Medina Has to Grow every so often. Plus, I've got the organic citrus fertilizer that I put in there once a month. And then came by your place, and information desk person suggested iron.
Okay. First off, citrus will get dead branches. I mean, you'll be looking at it, have leaves on it, and all of a sudden it's dead. Trim that wood off. Try to cut into good wood a little bit, but trim the dead branches off.
Okay.
Does the plant have any leaves on it?
Yes. Yeah. All the, and a little bit of new growth every so often, but it looks like, I don't know what would be eating the leaves on those.
There's a couple of different things that could attack a citrus plant, but if you're getting new growth, you're using two different fertilizers. I would stay with just the citrus one. Once a month.
I'm sorry. Let me get back out. Can you say that last part again?
Sure. You're using more than one fertilizer. I would go with just the citrus one.
Okay.
Once a month.
All right. I can do that.
And that should promote new growth. And you want to really, really check. Is the soil in the container draining well?
Yeah, after the rains, I come out here and dump it because it's got like
it.
A little holding tray underneath and there was water standing in it. So
yeah.
I dump that.
Yeah, the holding trays, that's not a good thing for citrus. So if it fills up, you definitely want to empty it. Citrus runs on the dry side. It needs water, but it does not need to set in water.
Okay. All right. I'll give that a shot. Thank you very much. I appreciate your help.
Yes, sir, and good luck with it. Let's see. What do we got for time? Albert, what can I help you with?
Yes, I've got a pecan tree. Planted 20 years ago. It's never done very well. It's only between 15 and 20 feet tall. And the last couple of years, the drought has been hard on it. So you may be giving me the same advice you gave the guy with that magnolia tree, but I was wondering, just limbs the last couple of years that I've taken off. So any suggestions for a pecan tree?
Yeah. To produce, they want fertilizer.
Yeah, I'm not really concerned about it producing. I just want it to live.
A healthy tree?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Trim out what's dead. Let's start there. Get that off the tree so it's not risking the rest of the tree with some disease or something. Number two, you want to try to keep a consistent amount of water to it. It's a little bit of a water hog if you're growing it for pecans. If you're just growing it for a tree, you still want to give it water at least once a month if we haven't had rain. That is something you don't want it to, you don't want it to get too drought hit. And that can encourage it to come back. It'll also respond to a little fertilizer, something with nitrogen in it. Like I said, cottonseed meal. There are plenty of organic fertilizers where, you know, they start with a 10 or a 6 or an 8. Those would be perfect for it. And now would not be a bad time to do it.
Okay. And I imagine compost would be okay too.
Always. Always. That will help improve the soil the tree is growing in. The better the growing area, the better the tree grows.
Great. Thanks, Jeff. I appreciate it.
Thanks for the call, Albert. Yeah, folks, I'm always going to say compost, 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 compost. The reason for that is that improves the soil. You heard James earlier talking about he can stick his fingers into his soil 6 inches deep. I can't get a shovel into my soil 6 inches deep. The better the growing conditions, the better the plant will grow. Folks, it's coming down to the bottom of the hour. I got a break for the news. Bo, I see you there. I'll catch you on the other side.
This is Gardening Naturally on News Radio KLBJ with host Jeff Ferris. Jeff is ready for your calls or text messages at 512-836-0590.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. Let's go to the phone. This is Bo. Bo, what can I help you with?
Yeah, Jeff. Is there such a thing as Bermuda seed?
Yep.
Okay, because I got a bare spot that I'd like to... I guess throw some seeds out there and get it growing.
Okay, got to tell you something here.
Okay.
If Bermuda has a name, as in TIFF whatever, or celebration, or has a named type of Bermuda, that's only available as sod. Common Bermuda, which makes a great turf, is available by seed. So you can get Bermuda seed to fill in that bald spot.
Okay, well, I'm not sure what kind of Bermuda it is. So I guess I'll just take my chances and do the Bermuda seed and see what happens.
Yeah, they'll do fine. Even if you have one kind of Bermuda over here and you use the common, they'll do fine together.
Okay. All right, Jeff, thank you.
You bet. Thanks for the call, Bo. Let's go to the phone. This is Don. Don, what can I help you with?
Hey, Jeff. How are you this morning?
A wonderful day.
A little windy, but anyway. I got a question. I'm out here in the sandy soils of Lexington, and I got some sassafras saplings that I want to try to grow out here, and I was wanting to pick your brain on what to do or how to make them grow better or whatever.
Well, you're not going to like this.
Uh-oh.
It's generally, if we were going to be successful with sassafras, it would be in East Texas, not in our neck of the woods. So it wants a slightly acidic soil, happier with that kind of growing environment. It's not going to be a big fan at all of the alkaline clay environment.
Right. Well, yeah, I'm out here in Lexington, which is extremely sandy soil, and it's kind of poor soil, but it's more acidic than the stuff over in the central part of the area.
Okay.
I mean, we have pine trees and all that stuff growing out here, so
you can try it. It may dump its leaves when we get really drought, so it's probably going to need more water to keep it going.
Okay.
It should do okay where you're at. But you're going to want to keep an eye on its water needs.
Okay. I mean, is that through the whole life cycle of the tree, or is it mostly during the beginning of it, as soon as you plant it, or?
Yeah, let's say you plant it. You're going to get into a water routine that it likes. You may have to keep that up for a long time. simply based on how much rain you get. It doesn't like super dry soil. Now, it can tolerate a lot of soils and actually kind of prefer sandier soil like you may have, but it likes wetter soil. So if we were to suddenly go into a drought for, you didn't get any rain for like a month, you're going to have to go out there and help it.
Okay. I mean, would extra heavy mulch help it out or?
Yes, because that'll help keep it moist.
Okay.
Or when you do get rain or you do water, that'll help keep the soil moist. So well mulched is always a good thing for that tree.
Okay. What about any kind of fertilizer or just a regular like has to grow and all that stuff or?
Well, you could try what you would normally use on, what am I thinking of? Like in your turf grasses, if you're fertilizing your turf, that would be probably a okay fertilizer for the tree.
Okay. So they're kind of like, are they kind of like citrus and stuff? They like more nitrogen or?
Well, no, not necessarily. They would like a good, well-rounded fertilizer.
Okay.
But they would appreciate some of it. So
okay.
Maybe twice a year, you'll kind of get a feel for it yourself as it grows. And they can get quite large. So hopefully you got a spot for them.
Oh, I got 20 acres. I got a big spot for them.
Yeah, you just got to pick where you want to put it then.
Right. Okay. Well, cool. That's all I need to know.
Good luck with it because it's a beautiful tree, but I would never be able to grow one where I live. So I'm
right.
Kind of jealous.
Well, if they get big, I'll send you some pictures later on.
That'll work. That'll work. I like to see success.
All right.
Good luck with it. Good luck with it, Don. I hope it comes up and does well for you.
Okay.
Thanks for the call, Don. Folks, this is Gardening Naturally on what should be a wonderful day to be out gardening. Let's see. Want to remind people, if you have fruit trees, peaches, plums, pears, or apples, you need to thin the fruit. You do not let the tree produce fruit and never remove it. Too much fruit can damage the tree and will stunt its growth for next year. I've got a pear tree. I've got to go out and thin. I have some beautiful pears on there, and I have some pretty wimpy ones. I'm going to get rid of the wimpy ones so that the good pears can grow. This is true for plums, pears, peaches, and apples. Look up fruit tree pruning for a good idea of how much to remove. It will shock you. If you have a really productive tree, how much fruit you should remove to keep it happy. Folks, this is Gardening Naturally. I got to take a break. We'll be right back.
This is Gardening Naturally on News Radio KLBJ with host Jeff Ferris. Jeff is ready for your calls or text messages at 512-836-0590.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. Looks to be a pretty impressive day. Good day to be outside. It's humid. We're coming into that weather at this period of time. But we got a breeze, and it's not going to be really hot. So we can get a lot of that garden work done. We got rain coming. We need to be prepared for rain. I have only gotten, gosh, I didn't even get half an inch this week. That was disappointing, but that happened. I was able to correct for it using my irrigation system. My tomatoes thank me. But there's nothing better than rainwater. For one, it's free. That's always a good thing. The other thing is rainwater tends to be acidic. And our soil, for the most part, is very alkaline. So the acidic rain can greatly improve the growing environment. Your turf will be happier. It will be a wonderful deep soak for free, and it will really, really improve the soil biology. Our alkaline soil causes some problems. Every little bit of acidity we can provide improves the quality for the biology, which does all the hard work, prepares nutrients, creates the nutrient that the plant can use, provides it to the plant. That's all done by the little guys. So we really need that rain. Let's go to the phone. This is Philip. Philip, what can I do for you?
Yes, I've noticed this year, I live out in Lago, and I've noticed, and especially today, there's an explosion of the poisonous asp caterpillars. They're everywhere. They're all over the ground. They're on the leaves, and they're just, it's kind of creepy. What causes a big outbreak of the asp?
Well, nature goes in roller coaster rides.
Yeah.
If you have a big outbreak of a certain bug, that means the previous year or early this year, we didn't get enough predators to even things out. Now, we got a big flush of them this year. And this is whether it's an asp caterpillar, sorry, hard to say, the genista moth on mountain laurels, wherever there's a big outburst of them, that means that the predator will start to reproduce and grow and take care of that. And next year, we'll have too many predators and not enough prey for them. It is not a linear cycle. I remember a few years ago, my loquat tree was covered with the asp caterpillar. I mean, ooh. I was wearing leather gloves to go over there even to look at it because, man, that's a painful sting. But right. we have years where, wow, we get a whole bunch of them, then we won't have any of them.
Okay, yeah, I've never seen an outbreak this big. Do you know what the main predator is of the asp?
I do not. Because it's a poisonous caterpillar, it's got to be a pretty tough predator to attack it. Now, I think that it could be that you're not getting enough of the trichogamma or the ichneumonin wasps, which they really like to attack caterpillars. They lay an egg in the caterpillar, and the egg grows up and bursts out and kills the caterpillar. I don't know how they do it when it's a poisonous caterpillar, but I guess they manage it. So we just happen to have a period of time where there is not enough predators to keep up with the number of prey.
All right. So, well, that's a pretty clear explanation.
I would not expect to have this problem next year.
Right. I can believe that. Yeah. Yeah. I've never seen this many. It's kind of very, very strange to see this outbreak. So
it's also a little creepy.
Yes, it is.
I hate to be run over by caterpillars. Philip, thank you much for the call. Be careful out there. You know that sting is not pleasant.
I've heard that. Unfortunately, I have not been a victim so far. So,
yeah.
Thank you, sir.
Well, you bet. Good luck. I had a really bad outbreak of these a few years ago. And I have had friends who've been here for longer than I have say that most of our pests, I've had years where I can't believe how many wasps or yellow jackets I have. And then I have years where I quite literally won't see one. The asp is just another situation where we can get a flush of them and then we won't have hardly any. You won't be able to find them. I've seen years where we have, the ground seems to be moving from all the salt marsh caterpillars we have running around. This year's not at that level, but I have noticed a very large number of them. Nature is not linear. We have good years and bad years, whether it's your tomato crop, flower blooms, particular types of bugs. That's just how it goes. So it's not creepy per se. By any means, it's just something that we've got to kind of adjust to. Folks, this is Gardening Naturally. Coming up to the end of the hour, I'm going to have to go. I hope you all have a great day today and get your stuff done before the rain gets in the way. I will talk to everybody again tomorrow at 8 a.m. Have a good day.